Begin the current daf Masechtas Megillah daf Chav Beis. Begin on the bottom of Chaf Aleph from the Beis, four lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our previous Mishnah, which we were discussing the Kriyas of Megillah and these Parakim, and related, we spoke about Kriyas HaTorah. So we spoke about that on the regular day, Mondays and Thursdays, Shabbos afternoon, we call up three people for an Aliyah. And then the Mishnah said, upgrading for different times, Berisha Chadashim, B'chol HaShemayit, Karen Arba V'chulur. But regarding Rish Chaydish and Chalamayit, there, by Shachris, instead of calling up three people for Aliyah, we call up four people. Now, regarding to that halacha, the Gemara asks the following question. Boimene Ula bar Rav mi Rava. Ula, the son of Rav, asks from Rava, Parshas Rish Chaydish Kitzit Karen Naisa. How exactly, we said, so you split up the Kriyas HaTorah of Rish Chaydish amongst four people to get an Aliyah. And that asks the Gemara, exactly how exactly do we do this? Because the way what we recite on the Kriyas HaTorah, what's the parsha of Rish Chaydish? We recite the parsha of the Karban HaTamid, which is one of the karbanos we bring every single day, including Rish Chaydish. Additionally, we recite the parsha of Shabbos and the parsha of Rish Chaydish. So the Gemara explains as follows. The opening parsha that we lay is Tzavez B'nei Yisrael, V'mar Talem, command the Jewish people, and you tell them, as Karban Ilachmi, my Karban, my bread, which refers to the Karban Tamid. Tahavian Temani Psuki. Okay, that's eight psukim. How do you do first with that parsha? Nikri trei tlasa tlasa psukim. If the first two aliyahs are going to get each one three psukim, so pashalu trei. But then you're left with two psukim out of that parsha. Ve'im misharin beparsha pachas mishleisha psukim. This halacha, which I'm going to explain later on the reason for this halacha, you don't leave less than three psukim at the end of a parsha. You're leaving over two psukim, that's not allowed to. You have to end an aliyah that there's at least three psukim before the end of the parsha. So what are you going to say? Okay, Nikri Arba Arba, let each one lay in four psukim. The parasha of Tamid, which is a psukim, the first two aliyahs, one will lay in four, and the other one, Kohen will lay in four, and Levi will lay in four. And that is the Gemara, then Pashalu Shiva. So we're left with seven psukim left for what the Kriyas HaTorah is on Rosh Chodesh, which is Ubayim HaShabbos, the parasha of the Karban HaShabbos, Havin Trei, that's two psukim. Abarashi Chachechem, Havin Chamisha, and the psukim that talk about the Karban of Rosh Chodesh is five psukim. So we're left with two aliyahs left, and there's seven, two and five. Sehechan Avid, how should you do the remaining two aliyahs? If you're going to say Nikri Trei Miha V'chad Mehanach, that the one who gets Shlishi, the third aliyah, you'll recite the two psukim of Yom HaShabbos, and you'll lay one pasuk from the parsha of the Karbanos of Rish Chodesh. That will be, you have to have at least three psukim for an aliyah. Problem is, continuing to have a Chav Beis Manav, the halacha is Ein Maschilin B'parsha. Pachas Mishleisha Psukim. Similar like we said that you don't end a parasha with less than three psukim, you don't start a new parasha with less than three psukim. So here you're taking one pasuk from the parasha of, for the third aliyah, from the parasha of Rish Chodesh. You can't start less than three psukim. And if you're going to say, okay, Likri, so let the one who gets Shlishi read Tremiha, the two psukim of the parasha of Yom HaShabbos, V'tlasa Mahach, and three psukim, because you can't start less than three psukim, let him lay in three psukim from Beresh Chachechem, problem is, then Pashalu Trei. Then you're left with two psukim, and first of all, that means to say there's not enough psukim for the one who gets the fourth aliyah gets Revi. In addition, as some Rishonim have, that the text of the Gemara was, Ve'imasharim b'parsha pachasim b'gim psukim, you're left with the problem, you can't end the parsha with less than three psukim to the remaining of the parsha, and you're leaving over two. So Amalai, so he responded to Ula Barav, Rava responded, he says, look, Zulay Shemati, the question you're asking, I didn't hear the answer to your question regarding Rish Chodesh, but Kayetzeba Shemati, I heard a different halacha that's related, that from there you'll be able to understand what to do on Rish Chodesh. Does not, like we learned in Mishnah Masechtas Tainis, which talks about what's called the Mamadis. The Mamadis were when they would have those who bring karbanas, this came from the Tzibur. And that means to say that the Jewish people are the owners, and the owners have to be there by the carbon. Now, we didn't have every single person be there as the carbon, so they had what's called mamadis. They had that certain groups were appointed to be in charge, and every single day were those that they would be in charge. And each day they would have a Kriyas HaTorah correlating to that day of creation in relation to the carbonists that were brought. Now, B'yayim HaRishon, on Sunday, on the first day, what they would lay in is Bereshis, which is the first day of creation, and Vayehi Rekia, which is already going into the second day of creation. Now, the reason for that is because there wasn't enough psukim in the parasha of Bereshis, which you need to have nine psukim, which is for Kohen Levi Yisrael. There's not enough psukim in just the parasha of Bereshis. So you have to add on also Yehi Rekia, which is already in the second day of creation. So to have at least 9-10 psukim to learn from. Now, B'tani Alam, learned the Braisa that explains this Mishnah, that how do they split it up? So Bereishis Bishnaim, the parasha of Bereishis was two aliyahs, and Yehirikiyah Be'echad, and the parasha of Yehirikiyah, that there should be a division between heaven and earth, that there should be a firmament, that was with the third aliyah. Now, the Avinu, but we asked on that, is Bishlam Yehirikiyah Be'echad? We understand that the third aliyah, Yehirikiyah, should be with one person. The Tlasa Psukah, because that's just three psukim, that's great. Every aliyah has to have three psukim. El Bereishis Bishnaim, but to say the Bereishis Bar Lakim, that they should have two aliyahs, Chamisha Psukahava, but there's only five Psukim over there. But Tanya, in the Braisa, Hakar, Betar, Leivchis, Mishlesha Psukim, whoever gets an aliyah is called up to the Torah, he can't read less than three Psukim. Now, Vidma Allah, we said on that, so what's the understanding? So Rav Amah, he says, Doilik. What you do is literally means like skip, or what it means to say is, the second one starts his second aliyah to repeat the same Pasuk that was the third Pasuk of the first aliyah. He repeats that Pasuk. And therefore, it'll overlap one pasuk. The first one will have a three pasukim, and the second one will also have a three pasukim, because although there's only five pasukim, he'll read over the last pasuk for his first pasuk. Ushmul amapaisik, he says, no, that actually what you do is that the first one reads two and a half pasukim, and you stop in the middle of the second pasuk, and then the second one will start halfway through that pasuk, so each one has three pasukim, because each one's having two and a half. So therefore he was saying the same thing you'll do, Baruch Chaydish, that although there's not enough to go by, you'll have in the opening halacha, in the opening aliyah, you'll have that you'll stop. In middle, each one will get two and a half and two and a half, or one will repeat the pasuk, so that you'll have three remaining for the shlishi of the remaining of the beginning of the parasha of the carbon tamid. As the Gemara explains, Rava Madailig says the Gemara, my time alone a pasuk. Why is it that he says that you should repeat a pasuk? Why doesn't he say to stop so that there's no redundancy, there's no repetition? Says the Gemara, he held that any pasuk that Moshe Benu didn't do, meaning Moshe Benu had where you start him again and end the pasuk, and he doesn't stop over there, like we can't stop in the middle of a pasuk, we can't just cut up a pasuk, and therefore he does not like Shmuel. Says the Gemara, but Shmuel am a pasukin, he says that you could. On that, as the Gemara, why does he say you could cut up a pasuk? He was called Kara because he was a Baal Mikra. He was someone who had lain. He understood. He knew all the timing of the Mikra and the Girsayis. He said that Tsar Gadol Hayili. He said it was very difficult for me. Etzel Reb Chanina Hagadol, by the great Reb Chanina, that Volahitali Lifzik. He did not permit me to cut up a pasuk to stop in middle. El Tenegesh Abisraben. Only for teaching the students, the little boys in yeshiva, Hayilu Lislamrasuin. Since they're doing it for learning purposes. So therefore, you could stop in the middle of a pasuk. But in general, he says you can't stop in the middle. So how did Shmuel say that the way to resolve this mamadis is to go ahead and cut up Bereishis two and a half, when you're not allowed to stop in the middle where Moshe Rabbeinu didn't stop? Says Gemara, yeah, hasam time in my, what's the reason that Chanina Gadol allowed him to cut up the pasuk when he was teaching the Tashbar, the little Jewish boys, Shum de Leafsher, because it's not possible. You can't teach them whole pasuk without stopping in the middle. Chanamri Leafsher. Yeah, Shmuel held. Here it's also not possible. Because what are you going to do? You only have that many psukim, and therefore, since it's not possible, you're allowed to stop in the middle of a pasuk. And that is the Gemara, Shmuel Omer Pesach. He says you stop in the middle. My time alone, like, why didn't he say like Rav, that just repeat the third pasuk, and that way you'll each will have three psukim? Says the Gemara, Gezerim Meshum HaNechnasim. First of all, it's a decree because of those who come in late. They're going to come in late, they're going to hear that the second person who's getting aliyah started from this third pasuk. They're going to say, wait a second. They're going to say the first guy who got an aliyah only got two psukim, which is problematic, because then they're going to think an aliyah could have two psukim, which is not the case. It has to have three. And Meshum HaYaitzin is also concerned because of those who leave early. If they're going to hear the first person, get three psukim, and then he's going to leave from shul, he's going to say, wait a second, there's only three in Vayirukiah, and this, that means whoever's getting Shani is only laying two psukim, and that's not the case, because then he's going to think you could have an ali with less than three psukim. So to avoid that problem, Shmuel says, no, it's not possible to repeat because of Nechnas of the Yesen. Rather, he says, you cut the pasuk in half. Now, however, Mesav, the Gemara has on both of them from the following price. The price says, Parsha Shal Shisha Psukim. If you have a Parsha, which is an entire concept that has six psukim, so Karnas Bishnaim, so that can be read with two people, three and three. Vishal Chamisha Psukim. If one Parsha has only five psukim, so Biyachat, then one person is only one who could lay in that Parsha. Let's say Karishan Shleisha, let's say the first one who gets Aliyah only reads three psukim. So you're not supposed to, but Hasheni Karishnaim Parsha too. So what the second one who gets Aliyah, he reads two psukim from this Parsha. And he has to have three psukim, so he lanes one pasuk from the next parasha. The yeshim, those that say no, shloisha, he has to read three psukim from the next parasha. Like we brought earlier, because you don't start a parasha less than three psukim. Now, So the Gemara concludes the question, V'imisa. Now, if you hold like either Rav or Shmuel, so why are they saying that when there's five, that one person, only one person could lane it? Laman dama deyle gorn, the Rav says, you repeat. So nidlik, let them repeat. So you'll have in the five psukim, although he read three, you don't say two and then one from the next one, or two and three from the next one. Just repeat the pasuk, and then you'll have three even in that same parasha. Well, the man of the pasuk, significant. Korn to Shmuel says you stop in the middle, so stop in the middle. Says the Gemara, no, shani hasim the ef shabachi. No, there it's different than the brisa, because it's possible to read from the next parasha after what you read. Because this brisa is talking about Mondays and Thursdays, where you're reading from the whole parasha. So you can read as much as you want, because it's all regarding the topic of the day, which from that week's parasha. Here we're talking about that it's only negeya for the mamadis, which is supposed to be this day of creation, or Rish Chedesh, which is only talking about the Kabbans of Rish Chedesh. You can't go further. So there you would have to do either Deilig or Pesach. But of course, when you could, you're not going to cut a Pesach in half, or even repeat a Pesach. Amrib Tanchim, Amrib Shimon Levi, he says, Halacha Kishem, Halacha Falzik Yeshayimim, that you don't start a parsha less than three psukim. So when the first one read three psukim, and there's only two psukim left in the parsha, and he has to read three psukim, and you're not going to cut a pasuk in half or repeat it if you could go to the next parsha, then it's not enough just to say the third pasuk, which is one pasuk for the next parsha, you'd have to read three psukim for the next parsha. Additionally, another teaching from Amrib Tanchim, Amrib Shimon Levi, he says, just like we're saying, that you don't start from a parsha less than three psukim, and that's a decree because of those who come in late. They're going to think, wait a second, we see that this person ended one pasuk into this parsha, or two psukim into this parsha. They're going to think that he only read two psukim from the beginning of this parsha, because they weren't in shul, they didn't hear that he read one pasuk or two psukim from the previous parsha. So just like you're not allowed to start a parsha less than three psukim, kach in misharin b'parsha pachad m'shalash psukim, so too, you can't leave over less than three psukim at the end of a parasha. I mean, you can't stop when there's still one or two psukim left because of the decree of those who are going to leave early. They're going to think, wait a second, I mean, so whoever's getting the next aliyah is only reading the remaining two psukim, which is not the case. They have to have three. So therefore, just like you can't start less than three, you can't end less than three. So on that halacha, the Gemara is Peshitta, obviously. Hashta, if now that we find, Uma Aschalta, if the starting of a parasha to do less than three psukim, the Kamekel Tanakam, who the Tanakam we brought of the Yesh Aymrim, they were lenient. They said, yes, if you have five psukim in the parsha, although one person is supposed to read all five, if one read three and there's two left, so the Tanakam says, okay, read two from this and one from the next parsha. Machmiri Yesh Aymrim, but and the Yesh Aymrim, they're stringent, and they say that, no, it's not enough just to read one from the next parsha. You have to read three from the next parsha. So then Shir, so then remaining what's left over in the parsha, the Machmir Tanakam, the Tanakam is stringent, because the Tanakam has said that when there's one person, that when there's five psukim, one person is supposed to read it. We don't say, oh, let the first one read three, and then he can stop if he wants to. No, the Tanakam agreed that he's not supposed to leave over. Five psukim, one person is supposed to read all five. So the Koshkin, the Machmir Yesh Aymrim, so if you're saying that there's a halacha that just like you can't start a parasha less than three psukim, so that and that's the Yesh Aymrim, not like Tanakama. So of course you're not allowed to leave over. For sure the Yesh Aymrim is going to be stringent over there, because you're passing like them regarding starting, which the Tanakama is lenient. So regarding ending, where the Tanakama is stringent, for sure by the Yesh Aymrim they would be stringent. Why do you have to say this halacha? Says the Gemara, no, Ma'od Tema, what would you say? Nechnasin, those who come in late, Ishchichi is more commonplace. Maybe someone's running late to shul. So therefore, they were more stringent by the beginning that you shouldn't start a parsha that is one or two psukim in, because a person's not going to realize that what happened. But yaitzin lo ishchichi demanchi se v'terev v'nafki. But leaving early, it's not so common. In the middle of the kriyas haTorah, someone's going to run out in the middle of kriyas haTorah. Someone's running late, that's more common. Leaving early is not going to be an interview. You would think that you could leave over one or two psukim towards the end, because you'll see the next one that gets Ali is not going to read two psukim. You'll see that he's going to read in the following parasha or two, or that there's not going to be another Ali. You'll understand that. Rasulullah has to say that no, just like we say that now start less than three, you also now let it end less than three. But then the Gemara asks, so actually, with Tanakamam, Maishna Shiyuri, Deloi, so why is it that he holds that you can't leave over, as we pointed out, he also says when there's five psukim, you're not supposed to read just three psukim, you're supposed to read all five, you're not supposed to leave over less than three, why not? Because it's a gezerah, Misham Yetzim, because of those who are going to leave early, they're going to say, wait, there's two psukim left, that means the next one's getting aliyah, having only two psukim. So if that's the case, Sashulinami, so then also regarding starting a parasha, that you shouldn't do less than three, gezerah, Misham Hanachnasin, he should also agree to that concept, which we said is even more common, they should be concerned because of those who come late, that they're going to see that, look, what do you mean? What happened? There's only two psukim into the parasha. I mean, say he only read two psukim. They don't know that he read from the previous parasha. Why doesn't the Tanakam have that concern too? So I mean, they said, no, The reason is, there's no such concern of ha-nechnasin in this case. Because man the ayil, whoever is coming at the shul, shayuli shayil, he's going to ask. When he hears that the second person read only two psukim of this parasha, he's going to say, wait a second, what's going on over here? Why do we read only two? He'll find out that they said, oh, don't worry, he read from the previous parasha. Whereas someone who's leaving early, that he was concerned for because he has no one to ask. He's leaving. He's like, oh, two psukim left. Interesting. Okay, maybe you only don't have to read three psukim. But someone coming in late, he's not concerned for that. And therefore he says that, although he's concerned for you're not supposed to leave, but regarding starting, you could start less than that because whoever's going to come in, he'll figure out from the people in shul that the person actually read three psukim. Sholach le'rabbi b'reid de'rav l'rav Yosef. He says, Hilchasa, as Rashi points out, regarding that of Ma'amadois, as we pointed out, that was the parallel we were drawing. What's the halacha? Regarding the halacha of Ma'amadis, what do you do? Because we said in Parashat Bereishis, there's only five psukim, and then the next year, Kiyah, which is making it that we could have a total of nine psukim, which is actually eight, but we said that there's a machlekes, do you repeat or do you cut in half? What's the halacha? So Shalach Lehi sent them Hilchas Adoylik. Halacha is that you repeat a pasuk, and it's the middle pasuk that the middle one is the one who repeats. Means to say, because if the middle one wouldn't repeat, what would happen is that he would have to go ahead and start next parasha less than three psukim. Because if he read three psukim from the second one, it would come in that he would read the whole thing, and you have to have four ali, and you have to have three aliyas, and he wouldn't, because he wouldn't be able to start, and because it only has three psukim by hirukiya. So therefore, what happens is that the first one leans three, the second one, now there's two psukim left, he repeats a pasuk, and then he finishes a parasha bereishis, and the last aliyah gets that of yehirikia. Now the Mishnah said, Zahakal, this is the rule. Kol sheyesh b'musa b'chulu, whatever has an addition for its day, unlike a regular day, you only lean three aliyahs. In those days, if it's not a yomtiv, yomtiv is more, it's already five aliyahs, but if there's something additional and it's not a yomtiv, then you have four aliyahs. Now, Ibargo, the following question. Tainis tzibur b'kama, when there's a public fast and they lean from the Torah, how many aliyahs are there? So the Gemara explains, Rish Chaydish Umayyad, regarding Rish Chaydish and Chalash Umayyad, the Ikka carbon Musaf, there's an additional carbon that's brought on those days. So that's what the Mishnah says, Arba, that there are four aliyahs. Avalhacha, the Lekka carbon Musaf Loy, but here on the Titan Sibu, there's no carbon Musaf, then there's not going to be four aliyahs. Maybe here also there's a musav, which is an additional tefillah, which is the tefillah of Anenu, which is a special bracha put into Shmai Nesra and the Titanus. So maybe there also there would be four aliyahs. So the Mishnah says, Tashma, it's being arrived from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, B'Rosh HaKadoshim, B'Chodesh HaMoed, Kairin Arba, then when there's four aliyahs. Now the inference is, HaBatayin is Tzibur Gimel, but on the Tayin is Tzibur, which is not mentioned, only gets three aliyahs. Says the Gemara, yeah, but Eimer Reisha, look at the beginning of the Mishnah. Mishnah said, B'Shein HaMechemisha, Mondays and Thursdays, B'Shabbos B'Milcha, and Shabbos afternoon, Kairin Gimel, there's only three aliyahs. Now, HaTayin is Tzibur, which is not mentioned, is Arba, it's four aliyahs. So the Gemara said, obviously you can't infer because each one has contradictory inferences. What's halacha by Tainis Tzibur, which is more than a regular day, but less than that of Rish Chodesh and Chalash Amayit. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a raya for the following incident. The Rav, Ikla Lebavel by Tainis Tzibur. Rav went to Bavel on the public fast. Kam Kar B'Sifra. So he got up and he leaned from the Torah. Pasach Baruch, he opened up, he said a bracha before he leaned. Chasam Alei Baruch, when he finished, he didn't make a bracha. Nafal kuli alma ampayr. Everyone fell to do nefilas apayim to say tachnun. V'rav le nafal alapayim. Rav didn't do nefilas apayim. Now, mechdi, let's see. Rav be Yisrael kara. Rav would get, he wouldn't get kain and levi because he wasn't a kain or a levi. So he would get an aliyah of a Yisrael. So my time of chasam lebarch. Why did he end off the kriyas atar and not make a brach at the end? On a regular day, there's shlishi, that's the one of Yisrael, that we said the last one, according to everyone, all the time you make the aliyah at the end. Now, isn't it because he wasn't the last aliyah? Because there was another aliyah of four on the Tainis Tzibur. So you see, the Tainis Tzibur has four aliyahs. So it's like, Rabbi Kahanikar. Rav was actually getting Rishon. He was laying the first one in the place of what Kahanim usually do. The Harav Huna Kar Bekani. We find such a precedent as Rav Huna, who was not a Kohen either, as the Gemara brings in Gittin of New Testament base, that he would get the first aliyah, that of the Kohen. So therefore, he opened that with a bracha because it was the first aliyah, but of course he didn't make a bracha afterwards because it wasn't the last aliyah. So therefore, there's no raya regarding Tainis Tzibur that you see there was a fourth aliyah. But that is the Gemara, Bishlam Rav Huna Kar Bekani. We understand Rav Huna could get the aliyah of the Kohen, the Afila Rav Ami Rav Asi. The Kahani Chashiv the Ari Yisrael, who they were the most distinguished Kahanim in Eretz Yisrael, Mechiv Kaifo Leila Rav Huna, they were subservient to Rav Huna. So Rav Huna will get the first Aliyah, because although it's supposed to go a Kohen, but he's the Gadol Adar. Ela Rav, but Rav, Ha'ikar Shmuel. The Shmuel in Arda, which was one of the lands of Babylon, of Babel, the Kahana Hava, Shmuel was a Kain. Udvarale, not only that, but Rav treated Shmuel more respectful than himself, as the Gemara brings in Merubah, but Bekama Peyam Araf, that Rav would not go in front of Shmuel. So how could it be that Rav got Kayin if there was Shmuel? Says the Gemara, no, actually Shmuel Nami Mechav have a Kayif Leila Rav. No, Shmuel actually was Serbian, also to Rav, because Rav was the Galatar. Now, for Rav, that he treated Shmuel more respectfully, who the Avalei covered, he himself went out of his way to show honor and dignity to Shmuel, simply because Rav had cursed Shmuel that he shouldn't have any sons, as the Gemara brings in Shabbos Chav Chesed Aleph. So, as a sign of mollifying him, so he treated him with more respect. Now, but Chiyavale, when did Rav treat Shmuel with more respect? Was only Befanav in front of Shmuel. Shalei Befanav Avalei, but not in front of him, he wouldn't. So therefore, he would take the Aliyah of Kohen, even though Shmuel was there, because Shmuel wasn't right there. Shmuel wasn't in Bavel proper, he was in Arda, which is in the lands of Bavel. So therefore, it could be that Rav took the Aliyah of Kohen, and again, not a right to Tain Tzibur. And Igmar actually says, Hachana Mestabit, it's also logical to say this, to Rav Bekahani Kar, that Rav, this Aliyah, was the Aliyah of Kohen. Because if you're entertained to say it was one of the aliyahs of Yisrael, so lefanem my tam abarach, then why do you make a bracha before his aliyah? It was not the first aliyah. So it's like, oh, that's not difficult. That's not a ray. Lacha takana. We're talking about after the takana, which we previously mentioned, which was subsequently the Rabbanan said, as is our custom, that everyone who gets any aliyah makes a bracha before and after. So says Gemara, Ihachi, if that's the reason why he made a bracha beforehand, so lachra nami levach, then he should have made a bracha also afterwards. Obviously, it's because he had the aliyah of Kain. That's why he said before and not after. Says the Gemara, no, it's also not a raya. Shani Hecha the Yasa Rav, it's different where Rav was there in Shul. The male Eili, yeah, where people might come in and run in late to Shul, so therefore, it would make sense in a regular Yisrael Aliyah that he would make a bracha beforehand because of Hanachnasin, but as a Ketin Temet Beis, Mefik Loi Nafki. In the God Ladar, no one is leaving early from Kriyas Atar. So therefore, yes, it would make sense that even a regular Aliyah, and therefore not a raya that he got Kayin, that he made a bracha beforehand because of those who came late, as we said previously, but he wouldn't make a bracha afterwards because there's no concern of hayyotzin, because no one's leaving shul if the galadar is there. So again, no raya that it's kain, but again, no raya that it's Yisrael to prove that there was four aliyahs by Tainas Tzibur. So the Gemara says, Tashma, the Gemara tries to bring another raya if a Tainas Tzibur has four aliyahs. The Braisa says, Zakal, this is the rule. Kol shiyesh by bitl malach la'am, any situation where there's a nullification of work for the people, meaning regarding this, if you're delaying them, you're keeping them longer in shul because of Kriyas HaTorah, so and they're not able to get to work, could go in Tainas Tzibur like a public fast, which is permitted to do work. Most public fasts are permitted to do work, except for there were certain series of fasts that they would do when the rain wasn't coming down there. It's Israel, where the middle fast and the later fast were forbidden to do work, but in general, a regular public fast, people had to go to work, and the Tisha B'Av, which is also permitted to work, except in a place where the custom is not to do work, Kairin Gimel. So that's the answer. You see that there are three aliyahs by a Tainas Tzibur. Now, V'she'im B'Bitam Al-Achlam, but when there's no stopping people from going to work, Kairin Rosh Chodashim, where there's not so much B'Bitam Al-Achlam, because women don't do Malacha on Rish Chodesh, and there was a custom that even at one point the men didn't, as the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, which Rashi brings from his teacher, the elder, that the women actually were subsequently given this mitzvah, and they hold on to this custom because they didn't take off their jewelry to go ahead and give it towards the eagle, the golden calf, which as an addition brings in Rashi, brought in the Brisa of Eliezer, that the women heard and they didn't want to take off their jewelry to give it to their husbands, and they said to them, you're making a graven image which has nothing that could do to help us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the women reward in this world that they should be able to safeguard the Yom Tov of Rosh Chodesh more than men, and also in the future, in the world to come, they're also going to have somewhat of a chiddush like Rosh Chodashim, like it says in the pasuk, "Tischadish Kanesh in the Reich." You're going to renew yourself like an eagle. Is that how it's going to be your youth? And there's a pasuk that supports this, that there's really less malacha done in Rosh Chodesh. A pasuk in Shmuel Aleph Perek Chav that says Ash Nestarter Sham B'Yem HaMaisa, which Targum Yonason says regarding is talking about that Macha Chodesh the next day. That then this was Erev Rosh Chodesh and it's calling it Yem HaMaisa. Obviously, the next day on Rosh Chodesh is not a day of doing Yem HaMaisa, where malacha is not done so much. There's certain extent of a decrease in Malacha Rosh Chodesh, there's not so much Bita Malacha, and Bechal Shemayit, a similar type of phenomenon is Bechal Shemayit, which is also not so much stopping people from work because people are coming, they're spending more time in shul than during a weekday because you can't really work on Chol HaMoed unless it's Dava Avod, it's a great loss. So there, again, you're not going to lane as much as on Yom Tov where no one's working, and then Shabbos for sure not. But because Shabbos you can't do any malacha, even that of Oichel Nefesh, so Kair and Dalet, then you're going to recite four aliyahs. But one thing is, says Gemara Shema Amino, we clearly prove from this Braisa that in a Tainus Tzibur, there's only three aliyahs. Now, however, Amar Rav Ashi says, but Vahanan Leitzanan Hachi says, but we didn't learn like this the way you just proved in the Braisa. Our Mishnah says, Zahakal, this is the rule. Kol Yoyim Shiyesh by Musif, Vein Yom Tov, any day that has an addition, and it's not Yom Tov, Karin Arba, you have four aliyahs. Now, Lasuyimai, what's that coming to include? Lav Lasuyu Tainus Tzibur V'Tishbav, isn't that coming to include a public fast and the 9th of Av, which they have an addition, there's an extra tefillah that's said on the Tainus Tzibur and the Tishbav. Obviously, it's coming to say that there's four aliyahs, not three. So and that says the Gemara, but Rav Ashi that he says that when the Mishnah says Zaha Klal, it's coming to include even Tishabav, which has an additional prayer, Vaneinu. So Masnit Mani, according to him, who's our Mishnah like? Loitan the Kama, Veloy B'Yisi, the Tanya, like Linda Braisa, which is discussing regarding Tishabav, which is the last Sugya in Masechta's Tainus. No one is like the way Rav Ashi is trying to say that by Tishabav there's four aliyahs. The Braisa says as follows. Chaliyas b'sheni b'chamishi. If Tisha B'Av falls out to be on a Monday or a Thursday, so current Gimel, like on every Monday or Thursday, you have three aliyahs. Umafter echad, and one of them has that of the last aliyah has the haftira, which is from read from Navi. B'shlishi revi'ah comes on the Tuesday or a Wednesday. So current echad, so there's only one aliyah. Umafter echad, that one who gets that aliyah, he lanes the mafter. B'yisim, he says, no, lo'ilum current Gimel mafter echad. He says, no, even if it's a Tuesday or Wednesday, you're always going to have three aliyahs, and the last one's going to get mafter. One thing is, you see clearly from the Braisa that no one holds on Tisha B'Av is going to be four aliyahs. It's always, at most, three aliyahs. So the Gemara says, but Ve'el Akash is Zahakal. So, okay, Rav Ashi is refuted, but what do you do with what he says from the Mishnah? What does Zahakal come to tell us, if not coming to include Tisha B'Av and a Tainus Tzibur, which has a Musaf as an additional prayer, and it's not a Yom Tov to have four aliyahs? Says Gemara, Allah, you know, it's not difficult. Lasui Rish Chedesh Amayit. It's coming to include Rish Chedesh and Chalash Amayit, which has Kabbal Musaf, and has a Tefillah of Musaf, and there's no Yom Tov, so that's where this folly is. Says Gemara, Baha Behed Yikatani Allah, but the Mishnah explicitly says that. You wouldn't need a Zahakal to tell you. The Mishnah says, Beresh Chedashim Amayit, Karin Abba, that you read four aliyahs. So what are we adding when you say Zahakal? Says Gemara, it's not difficult. This that the Mishnah subsequently says Zehaklal, Simona ba'almayab, it's giving a reminder, a mnemonic, that the loy tema yomtev chalashal maid kadadidin. You shouldn't confuse and think to say, okay, yomtev chalashal maid, it's the intermediaries between yomtev. You would think that it has the same amount of aliyahs as the yomtev itself, which is five aliyahs. And rather, elanokat haklal biyatcha. That's what Mishnah comes to tell you to say, no, this is the general rule that will remind you that there's not going to be five aliyahs on Chalash Amayit, only four aliyahs. Why? What's the Mishnah saying when it says, whatever has musiv, called the tafile milsim echavri, whatever has more than its other, meaning from the word of musiv, which means adding on. Any day that has more than another day, tafile gavri yisari, add on another person for another aliyah. Helkach, therefore, you come out as follows, and that's, you'll remind you that on Chalash Amayit, there's only four aliyahs, not five. Because a regular day, Monday, Thursday, three aliyahs. And on Chodesh Amayit, where there's an addition, there's something more where there's a carbon musaf, it's a Karin Arba. Then you have four aliyahs. Which is more than Chodesh Amayit Rish Chodesh, where you're forbidden to do any regular work, that's Chamisha. That's five aliyahs. On Yom Kippur, where there's a punishment of Karis, unlike Yom Tov, then you get six aliyahs. Shabbos, it's a Skila Shivan Shabbos, which is the punishment of being stoned, of Mrs. Bezdin. There's Sheba, there's seven aliyahs. And that's what the Mishnah is alluding to when it says Zahaklal, but not coming to say anything more, because actually Tainus Tzibur and that of Tisha B'Av is only three aliyahs. Now, Gufa, the Gemara goes back to an incident we mentioned in passing, thinking that we'll bring a proof from that incident, that the Gemara had said, Rav Ikla Bavel B'Tainus Tzibur. Rav went to Bavel on the public fast. So it said two things that he did. First of all, Kam Kar B'Sefer, he got up and he read from the Sefer Torah, Pasach Baruch, he opened up, before he read from the Torah, he made a bracha. Chasam Ali Baruch, when he finished, he didn't make a bracha. And additionally, Nafal Kuli Alma Ampayu, Veravli Nafal Ampayu. Everyone fell on their face, which is called Nefilas Apayim Tachlin, which is done after the Shemayin Esrei. And Rav didn't do that. So the Gemara wonders, Maitam Ravli Nafal Apayu, why is it that Rav didn't do Nefilas Apayim? So the Gemara says, because Ritzbah Shalavanim, he said, there in that shul, the floor was made out of stone. The Tanya Lunda Braisa says a pasuk in the Yikra ve'even maskus, a stone covering leititnu ba'artzachem, you should not place in your lands lehishtach v'zlo, to bow down on it, which tells us Allow Yatim Ishtachav Ba'artzachem on the stone covering, the stone floor, you're not allowed to bow down on your lands. But the inference is, but you're allowed to bow down on the stones in the temple in the Beis HaMikdash. Kedula, like Ula said, Damuli says, La Asha Tayr, the Tayr said, didn't say it's forbidden what it says in this pasuk. El Ritzba Shalavan Bavat, only a floor made out of stone. You're not allowed to make a stone floor in a shul, like it is in the Beis HaMikdash, where that's forbidden to bow down over there. So therefore, he didn't do Nefilas Apai. So if that's the reason why, Ma'iri Rav, then why was it only Rav? A Fila Kulanami, then the whole shul shouldn't have done Nefilas Apai. Says the Gemara, no, Kamei de Rav Havi. Only in front of Rav, where he was davening, only there was a stone floor. So therefore, he couldn't do, but everyone else, which didn't have stone, was able to do the bowing down. They were able to do Nefilas Apai. But says the Gemara, okay, but Lezel Gabit Tzibura, Belin Palalapi. So why did he stay in his place? Why didn't he go towards where the public was, and then go fall on his face on the ground and do Nefilas Apai? Says the Gemara, no, Lebayi Lemitrach Tzibur, he didn't want to be Matriach the Tzibur, he didn't want to make it difficult for them, because if he's going to walk, they're going to have to stand up for the Gal Adar, for Rav, and he didn't want to do that, so therefore he just didn't do Nefilas Apai. Or if you want, you could say that Rav, Pishay Yedayim Reglayim Hava Abed, when he said Tachden, he would fall on his face and spread out his hands and his feet flat on the ground, and that's how he said Nefilas Apai. But the rest of people wouldn't do that when they did Nefilas Apai. Okay, the Ula. The Amaula, the Ula said, La'asr Torah, the Torah didn't make it forbidden to bow down on the Evan Maskus, Ilapisha Yadam Reglayim Avad, unless you're spreading out your whole body, your hands and your feet. Only Rav did that, so he didn't do that. The rest of Shulda didn't do that, therefore they were able to do Nefilas Apayim, even on the stone floor. But the Gemara asks, okay, so V'li Palalape, V'loi Le'evet Pisha Yadam Reglayim. So here where there was a stone floor in Shul, why didn't Rav just fall on his face like everybody else and not stretch out his hands and his feet? Says the Gemara, Allah, he didn't want to be Meshanim Minhage. He didn't want to change his custom. He wanted to keep his custom that he always does, and therefore, instead of changing, he just didn't do Nefilas Apayim in that shul. Or if you want, you could say that actually, no, he actually never did Nefilas Apayim. And therefore, in that incident, when they recorded, he didn't do Nefilas Apayim. Why? Because Adam Chashav Shani, a distinguished person, is different. In what way? Kedir Balazi. Dhamma Balazi says, Ein Adam Chashav Rishoy Lipal Alpanav, a distinguished person, like Rav, is not allowed to do Nefilas Apayim to fall on his face in beseeching and supplication of God. Elam Kenena, unless if he's so confident with his righteous actions that he's going to be answered in his prayers, Kishu Benun. Like we find the pasuk in Sefer Yeshua that says, "V'yem Hashem Yeshua." Hashem said to Yeshua, "Kumlach v'goymer, get up, etc." Where the pasuk says, "Lamazat neifal al panecha, why are you falling on your face?" In other words, don't do this, because if you're not confident that you're going to be answered, you're not allowed to, because it's going to be a disgrace. So if a Rav didn't do that in public because of the fact that he's adam chashev and he's not confident that whatever he's going to pray for is going to be answered. Related to this idea of bowing down, the Gemara brings Tanu Banan Lina Braisa. Kida, whenever that's mentioned, it's a type of reverence, of bowing down, that's only al apayim. That means to say a person is standing, and only thing that's touching the floor is the person's face. Something like it says, the Pasuk Melachim Aleph, it says, V'tikud Basheva apayim eretz. That Basheva, she did kida with her face to the ground, which means that you're standing and just you're bowing from the waist, and only the face is touching the ground. Kriya, what does that mean? That's kneeling al berkayim on the knees. So this says the Pasuk Melachim Aleph, Mikroya al birka, from kneeling on his knees. Ishtachava, bowing down, Zupisha darmaglayim, that's as we were talking about before regarding stretching out one's hands and feet, totally spread out, flat on the floor. Shnemach says the Pasuk in Bereishis, that Yaakov said to Yosef regarding his dreams, that he sees everyone's going to bow down to him, the whole family, all the stars and all the stalks of wheat. He says, Havay nove ani ve'imcha. What Yaakov says, you think I'm going to come, all of us, me and your mother, v'achicha and your brother, l'shtachavis l'cha'artza, to bow down to you to the ground? To the ground sounds like that the whole body stretched out on the ground, because that's what he said. It's talking about l'shtachavis, l'shtachavah means totally spread out on the ground. Now, related, the Gemara says that Levi achvi kida kamei de Rebbe. Levi demonstrated what kida was in front of Rebbe, which is that the only thing that was touching the floor was his thumbs, which he was leaning on, and he bowed down from the waist until he was like kissing the floor, and then he got up. So ve'itla, he became lame. He became limp, because the only thing he was resting on were his thumbs, and nothing was supporting him when he was getting up, so he had to really exert by his loins, by his waist, and because of that, that made something pull over there by his thigh, and therefore made him lame. Says the Gemara, V'haka garmalei, it was this that made him lame? But Vam Rebbe Lazar says, La'olam al yitich adam dvarm klapei ma'ala, a person should never, quote, throw something towards upwards, meaning a person shouldn't talk disparagingly to God, to heaven. Shari Adam Godla Tich Dram Klabi Malib, because a great person, he went and he, so to speak, threw upwards towards heaven, as the Gemara says in Tainus, that he says, Alis Lamarim Hashem, you went up above, and you're not looking at your sons, like what are you doing? That line became lame. Man, and who is that? That's Levi. So that's what caused him to go lame, not because he was showing Kita. Says the Gemara, Havaha Garmale, both of them caused him. In other words, since he went and he stretched himself and he pulled himself, so at a time of danger, which is doing something risky like that, then the downfall happened. So because he had done this sin of being Hitich Dram Klabi Malib, at a time when he was doing something vulnerable, like showing Kida, that so it was the two of them together that made him become lame. Now, Amar Rav Chiya Bar Avin, concluding these halachas of Nefil Sapan that we said before, he says, Chazina Lehu Labai, he says, I saw by Abayan, we continue to have Chav Gimel Mal, Verava, by these two great personages, the Matzli Atzluye. What they would do it actually by Tachna was, they would actually lean on their side. They wouldn't fall straight on their face, because as we said before, since they're Adam Chashav, their distinguished personalities, they're not allowed to fall on their face like we find Hashem telling Yeshua Ben Nun. So, but they wouldn't not say Tachna either, rather they would go on the side, and that's how they would say the tefillah of Tachnun, of Nefilas Apayim.